Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the nuanced take on free speech. Well, we speak freely, but we also have nuanced takes. So go to RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage. Today is Monday, and on Monday we jump across the pond and we talk to Mark Collett from Great Britain. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It is great to be here. It's good to be starting my week with you. And unfortunately, we're seeing a further week, or the beginning of a further week, of the bombardment and shelling of Gaza, which only seems to be intensifying and is, again, completely dominating the news cycle here in the UK.
Yes, it is here, too. And, you know, one would think, I think, that from Israel's point of view, that their policy is completely counterproductive, self-destructive. The longer this goes on, the worse it's going to be for them. They should be looking for some sort of off-ramp. But they can't. Netanyahu certainly cannot. And did you hear about one of their ministers in their cabinet? He's not somebody who's directly involved in the war. I think he's the minister of heritage or something like that. But he's saying that Israel should perhaps nuke Gaza. Have you heard about that?
I have, and this is the interesting thing. There's been a lot of very, very crazy talk from Israel. Coming out of Israel, we are seeing, you know, some really, really crazy talk. The kind of talk that is not conducive to peace, the kind of talk which makes you believe that, you know, they literally just want, the absolute genocide of, you know, of the Palestinians. And this kind of crazy talk is fundamentally leading to, well, zero condemnation. That's the issue. Here in the West, we just seem to be hit by this wave after wave of propaganda that's meant to make you feel sorry for Israel, but none of really the salacious and vile comments being made by the Israelis are being reported here.
And quite a lot. But anyway, I'm going to read a little bit from an article. This is actually from Press TV, because you would expect them to cover such a thing. Israeli minister saying nuking Gaza is a real possibility. An Israeli minister has claimed that dropping a nuclear bomb on the blockaded Gaza Strip is an option, saying that the remaining Palestinian population in occupied lands should go to Ireland or deserts. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but, you know, the two options he can think of are Ireland and deserts. I'm not sure what they have to do with each other, but Israeli Heritage Minister Amichai Eliyahu made the remarks in an interview with Radio Kol Berama when he asked whether an atomic bomb should be dropped on the enclave. This is one of the possibilities, Eliyahu of the extremist Otzma Yehudit party led by National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir said. Last paragraph I'll read. Eliyahu insisted that allowing any humanitarian aid into Gaza was wrong, claiming that there is no such thing as uninvolved citizens in Gaza, calling the innocent civilian population in Gaza Nazis. You know, one of the things is, here you've got on Israeli, I guess this was radio or TV, but they're discussing what to do with Israel's nuclear weapons, which the international community has accepted that because Israel has never made an official declaration that they have nuclear weapons, they've got this whole don't ask, don't tell policy regarding Israel. Well, they've never said that they have weapons, so we'll just assume that they don't. And yet they talk openly about them. And, you know, this is hardly the first time. I remember about, 14 years ago, 15 years ago, Ehud Olmert, the prime minister of Israel, in the late 2000s, saying that a country like Iran should never be allowed to have nuclear weapons because it's not responsible. It's not a responsible country the way United States, Russia, or Israel are, implying that Israel had nuclear weapons. So they just get away with it. And right now there's a lot of condemnation about this minister saying that Israel could drop one of its nuclear bombs on Gaza, which is strange thing in the first place. But Israel's not, as far as the United States is concerned, Israel doesn't even have nuclear bombs. So they're threatening Gaza with nuclear weapons that the United States has just always assumed, Israel doesn't have nuclear bombs. What do you think about that, Mark?
Well, I think there's two things to unpack. Obviously, Israel absolutely does have nuclear weapons, and, you know, they have claimed in the past that they don't, or they have never admitted to having them, but now they are threatening using them, which tells you everything you need to know, that they do in fact have nuclear weapons. They are a nuclear superpower. And the interesting thing about that is, fundamentally, they're not just admitting to having nuclear weapons. They are threatening to use those weapons against a civilian population, which is incredible. And I've got to say, we have just had absolutely months and months of absolute hysteria over the issue of Russia, of Vladimir Putin, of anything that Vladimir Putin said about the use of nuclear weapons has been reported on, put under a microscope, and has been shoved down our throat here in the West again and again and again. Yet here, when it's done by the Israelis, it's just instantly forgotten. You say, oh, well, you know, these things happen, you know, slip of the tongue, let's get on with business. And this tells you, again, everything you need to know about Jewish power, that the Jews have such an incredible amount of power that they can absolutely talk about committing an atrocity like this and do so without any censure. You know, when it comes down to it, fundamentally, the government in the UK would have reacted extremely badly if Vladimir Putin had talked about nuking, you know, a major city in the Ukraine, and it would have been reported on for a long time, and he would have been called, you know, a maniac, a lunatic, a maniac, a man who puts us all at risk. We're all at risk because of Vladimir Putin's lunacy. He's, you know, trigger happy. He's got his finger on the trigger, and you simply wouldn't have heard the end of it. But now it's Israel doing it, so it's absolutely acceptable. There's nothing wrong with this. And, you know, fundamentally, business as usual. And the guy who said it isn't just some random weirdo either, is he? He's not just some random weirdo. He's not just some sort of lone lunatic. He actually does have a position of power in the Israeli government. So this isn't, you know, one lone madman who's part of a tiny party that gets, you know, 2% at general elections. This is a guy that has a position in the government and potentially has some or a significant degree of influence. So, you know, this, it really is quite mind-boggling.
It is. And of course, like, it's insane at a lot of levels. One level is, you know, Israel is a small country geographically. It's about the size of our state of New Jersey. I don't know a good comparison for the British audience, but the size of our state of New Jersey, Gaza,
population-wise, it's about the same as Scotland, I believe.
Okay, population-wise, but I'm talking about in land area, because it's very small and densely populated, although not as densely populated as Gaza, obviously, which is extremely densely populated. But Gaza is like, it's right there. It's a strip, that is right adjacent to Israel. And, you know, for the American audience, I could say, you know, what if the governor of New Jersey was talking about nuking Philadelphia, which is just across a river? And of course, the prevailing winds would blow the fallout into Israel anyway. It's a crazy thing. But, you know, one more comment I'm just going to make about the cuteness of Israel always never admitting that they have nuclear weapons, and then the rest of the world accepting that means they don't, and treating them as if they don't, instead of having to invoke terms of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which would restrict all sorts of cooperation with them. And so here, I'm just going to read this little bit. We had a reporter who was quite well known. Her name was Helen Thomas. She was very, very old, but she continued working into about age 90. And she was part of the White House press corps. So, and she had been in the White House. She was the first woman in the press corps. I think she started during the Franklin Roosevelt administration. She was born in 1920, but she continued working, and because she became so senior, it became traditional that at any White House press conference, she was allowed to ask the first question. So when Obama was elected in 2008, he was inaugurated in 2009, he gave his first press conference on February 9th, 2009, and Helen Thomas, as was the custom, was allowed to ask the first question. And so Helen Thomas asks Obama if he knew of any country in the Middle East that possessed nuclear weapons, which was a way of getting him to confirm or deny Israel's nuclear arsenal, because they have this long-held stance of nuclear ambiguity. And Obama said that he would not speculate on the matter. He wouldn't speculate. And then Thomas, Helen Thomas, was never allowed to ask a single question ever again at a White House news conference. So this is the type of thing that's been going on. Everybody knows it. In 1969, in congressional hearings, the CIA testified that the reason the Six-Day War in 1967 only lasted 6 days was because the Egyptians were all of a sudden became worried that they were going to be nuked by Israel. So, I mean, it's been out in the congressional records that Israel had nuclear weapons as far back as 1969, but it's never been accepted as, you know, it's all, the Israelis have always been treated as if they don't have nuclear weapons because they haven't made an official declaration. And yet they go around threatening other countries with them.
Well, this doesn't surprise me at all. This is the kind of thing that I would absolutely expect from Israel. And I look at stuff like this and it does sicken me. It does sicken me because fundamentally, to threaten civilian targets with nuclear force is just absolutely 110% disgusting. You know, that is disgusting. It's something that is, completely beyond the pale, especially when you are dealing with a threat that is so, it's not a well-armed threat. You know, it's not a credible threat. It's not a threat that could actually destroy Israel. It's a threat that really is the, if you're going to be completely fair about it, the Palestinians are a threat to Israel only because Israel has made them a threat. Israel has repeatedly brutalized the Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank and have created this problem for themselves completely. And now, you know, we're in a situation where there obviously is some degree of pushback against the state of Israel. So Israel are talking about committing what would fundamentally be the ultimate war crime and, you know, wiping out, I would say, all human life, but it wouldn't just be all human life, wiping out all life in Gaza, full stop. And at which point they're receiving no condemnation, which just speaks again to their incredible level of power. There are no other people, you know, in the world that could fundamentally talk like that so openly and not receive absolutely huge condemnation. I don't think any Western nation could talk like that. If a Western nation was talking about potentially nuking another nation, you simply couldn't talk like that. It would not be seen as acceptable. It would not be seen as right. It would be seen as incredibly incendiary, and people would be talking about the effect, or the, well, obviously the human cost of all of this. And obviously we're not talking about, well, you and I are talking about the human cost of all of this, but nobody else is. Instead, we are seeing the same recycled stories which we've seen ever since the beginning of this conflict, where the powers that be simply want to focus on alleged incidents from, you know, the attack on Israel on the 7th. And we've seen this again and again. The Daily Mail at the weekend ran a ridiculous story about a woman who was apparently shot in the foot and the hip, and now she's in a wheelchair recuperating. But when you see the pictures of her in this wheelchair recuperating, there's no dressing on her hip or foot. Well, if you'd been shot in the foot or the hip, a month later, you wouldn't be sat in a wheelchair without any dressings on. You know, if you'd been shot with 7.62 ammunition in the foot, and the Daily Mail article made a point of saying she was about to bleed out from this. So the Daily Mail article didn't say it was a graze. She said, you know, her life was at risk. You know, she nearly bled out. And here now, you know, she's sat in a wheelchair and, you know, laughing and smiling away, and no dressings on a wound. Well, what? This is absolutely, you know, ludicrous. You know, the fact is, it is a blatant lie. These things, you know, Israel are effectively making things up. The press are regurgitating everything that they do make up and refusing to cover either the real human rights abuses that are taking place in Gaza or covering up, you know, genocidal, you know, the comments of genocidal madmen who want to nuke civilian populations. And unfortunately, this is the power that the state of Israel wields, because so many of its operatives are embedded in, you know, positions of, you know, power and sometimes absolute power in Western countries.
And, you know, you've had President Biden, for instance, fly over to Israel to immediately, very, you know, within a week or so of this starting, to pledge American support. Although he's starting to kind of walk it back. The thing is, the Israelis, their behavior has been very egregious and bad optics. And so, and you are having a little bit of walk back, but so many countries, you know, so many, and of course, Zelensky wanted to go over and have a meeting and have a photo op with Netanyahu, and apparently something was in the works where he'd go and have a photo op. He was originally told this isn't the time. And then I think he arranged something that would be like him secretly showing up in Jerusalem and having a photo op with Netanyahu and the president of Israel. And that got leaked to the press, so it couldn't happen secretly, so it's probably not going to happen. But could you imagine?
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And the gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in five easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Jerusalem and having a photo op with Netanyahu and the president of Israel, and that got leaked to the press, so it couldn't happen secretly, so it's probably not going to happen. But could you imagine Zelensky going over and taking a picture with the president of Israel and the prime minister Netanyahu? And what if Tony Blinken was there too? That would be a great picture to see these four Jews standing together, representing all of the war that's going on. Actually, I'm sorry that that's not happening. I think that would be a good thing. But the optics have just become so bad, and even lots of people who claim to be sympathetic to Israel and who condemned Hamas's October 7th actions, even so many of these people are going really hard on Israel because their behavior is so egregious. And Congress, which usually even people like in the squad, the progressive Democrats, even some of these people who normally would just sit on their hands, are becoming more outspoken. And with criticism of Israel, to have, I think there's 8 members of Congress who have been pretty outspoken against Israel, which for I know there's 500 and something members, and so this represents less than 2%. But to have anybody in Congress speak out forcefully against anything that Israel is doing, not to proclaim from the highest mountaintop that they stand with Israel, our best ally ever in the whole world, is pretty remarkable. And you're also getting protest movements, certainly on college campuses, but United States is a country that doesn't have a particularly large Muslim population like some of the countries in Europe, but you're getting a lot of say left-wing, so-called left-wing progressive protesters who have been nurtured in their political views by an anti-white Jewish establishment, but now they're turning their anti-white sentiments against the Israeli whites who are doing white supremacy against the Palestinians. So I don't know what you make of that, Mark. What's going on in Britain? There must be much, much more in terms of protests with all of the large Muslim population in Britain.
We have seen sizable protests, and I mean sizable. There have been, you know, a lot of people out on the street. London has been brought to a veritable standstill now for every weekend since this began, and it shows no sign of really ceasing. You know, we are seeing a situation here where I think this is going to go on and on and on for the foreseeable future, and it looks like it's going to continue, obviously, into next weekend. And next weekend is interesting because it's Armistice Day next weekend on the Saturday. It's the 11th of the 11th. And there's talk about people going to London from lots of different groups to potentially confront each other. And there's talk of real sort of potential flashpoints and trouble. And this is something that really does bother me, because what I can see here is we do have a large Muslim population. We do have a large number of people who are, you know, have the potential for going out on the streets and, causing trouble. And unfortunately, if they are met by a large number of people from, you know, nationalist groups, we could well see a situation where, unfortunately, somebody gets seriously hurt. And, you know, that is something that we want to avoid, or I'd like to see avoiding. At any cost, because the last thing we want now is there to be some huge battle on the streets between whites and Muslims, which leads to incredibly controlling new laws coming into force that may well lead in the future to taking away our rights to protest. Now, I spoke about this in my video the other week, called The Zionist Plot to Take Away Our Freedoms. And I think we're now in a position where we are hurtling towards, you know, a sizable clash, potential serious violence. And I think that will lead to something that harms everybody. I don't think this is just going to affect. You see, the problem is, and I think I said this the other week, many people think, oh, well, you know, if the government passed laws that are going to prevent the Muslim community going out and protesting on behalf of, the Palestinians against the state of Israel, that will somehow lead to a better world.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Muslim community going out and protesting on behalf of the Palestinians against the state of Israel. That will somehow lead to a better world, but it absolutely won't, because what we're going to see in the wake of that will be those very same laws used to crack down on people like myself, on people who are outside migrant hotels, protesting against mass immigration, into Britain. And that's the problem. I think people are getting very, very, how can I say it, very, very animated over this, obviously. And if it does end up in a situation where, unfortunately, vast numbers take to the street on both sides, we've seen what happens before. This happened, obviously, with BLM. Now, many of the people who are calling for people to take to the streets, those people themselves won't be taking to the streets, and that's an important point. If somebody's out there saying to you, you should take to the streets, and you you need to go out there and put your neck on the line, ask that person if they're putting their neck on the line first of all, because you certainly shouldn't be going out there and doing something on the orders of somebody who wouldn't do that themselves. You know, I strongly believe that. But I think there is a plot afoot at the moment in order to get people out next weekend so that there will be serious public disorder. And that serious public disorder will be an absolute bonus for the system, who will then use that public disorder to bring in the incredibly restrictive new laws that they've been salivating over. They're already talking about bringing in new anti-extremism laws because of these protests. And again, these anti-extremism laws, you know, any nationalists who's actually, you know, who are nationalists that are celebrating such a thing, you know, need to think again, because those anti-extremism laws will 100% be used against normal white people who speak out against mass immigration, because these aren't going to be very specific, highly focused laws that are made to deal with one specific type of the population. These will be laws that will be, as always, whenever things like this happen, the laws are always written very vaguely. They're written in a way that can be, so they can be applied to, you know, as many people as possible or as many causes as possible. And I see what's happening now as being something that not only has massive ramifications in the Middle East, but also potentially has huge ramifications here in the West, and takes away the human rights of people here in Britain. And at the moment, if you call a static protest, you don't actually have to in this country, you can go through the police, but you don't have to go through the police. You can just call a static protest. And I think what they're going to do is essentially move for new laws after this, so that if somebody calls for a static protest and it's not okayed by the police or maybe the Home Office, that group is actually either outlawed or fined, or there's pretty much, an arrest warrant goes out almost immediately for the people who arranged it. And I think that's a very, very worrying thing to be facing down.
So a static protest, that's a protest that's not a march where people gather in one place?
Is that what you mean? Yeah.
And wasn't there a protest that had been permitted and then just before it started, the police revoked the permit and banned it, and then arrested people who showed up in most cases not even knowing that it had been banned, because the ban had happened so suddenly and so late?
I don't know about that. That could possibly be true, but I actually don't know about that. So I'd love to say, yeah, that's what they've done. But I don't know about that. I do know, though, that in the past, and this is the worrying thing, every single time white people have gone on one of these, we must go to London and protect whatever would be our statues or whatever, they go down there and they are treated far, far worse than the other side. So last time this kind of thing happened, what we ended up seeing is a situation where people who were arrested for protecting statues were actually given harsher sentences than those who were arrested for pulling down statues. And that might seem insane, but I think that is all part of, I think that's all part of the plan. I think that's exactly what the powers that be want, you know. And in the end, I believe that in the case of one particular statue that was being, you know, pulled down by members of an ethnic minority community and people from the far left, the people involved in pulling that statue down actually just walked. You know, there was no actual, you know, the judge just said, well, look, you know, you did it for the right, you know, what you did was wrong, but you basically did it for the right reason. So here's a slap on the wrist and off you go. So giving them more or less the right to commit criminal damage whenever they wanted. Yet normal sort of white working folk who actually turned up to stop the damage to monuments, they were actually arrested and actually faced in some cases prison sentences. So, you know, this is what worries me. And people who dance to this kind of tune of let's go down, let's have a kickoff, you know, we've got to go down there and be on the front line. Well, that all sounds good. It all sounds well and good. But if it actually happens, the people who've called for these things usually walk away. And there's one particular big mouth who's calling for this at the moment. And I'm pretty sure that he will absolutely not be there and that he will walk away from this without getting arrested. But all of his supporters are likely, if they go to London and engage in mass public disorder, they will face some of the consequences as well, if not all of them.
You had mentioned earlier in the show something about nationalist groups perhaps having confrontations with Muslim demonstrators. So are some of these nationalist groups rallying to the cause of Israel?
Well, that's the other disappointing thing. Yes, they are. You know, that we saw a protest at the weekend, which was a nationalist protest, and unfortunately, we saw this horrendous number of so-called British nationalists, you know, draped in Israeli flags. It's one of those things, Patrick. Unfortunately, this is a situation that you and I have known of before. We're aware of, and unfortunately, you know, we've seen this several times in the past where nationalists are corralled into going to these events. They end up draping themselves in Israel flags. You know, they go down there, they get into trouble. And I can assure you of this, you know, the people who are getting into this trouble, they are not going to be experiencing any help from, you know, the Jewish human rights lawyers after this has all taken place.
Yeah, and you have in the United States, you have a lot of the people who have been outspoken, say, on YouTube or on the internet against the American involvement in the Ukrainian war are outspoken against the American involvement in the what's going on in Israel, in Gaza. And so there's some consistency there from a lot of people, but there are some that have taken completely opposite views. And one website that I for a while was frequenting, not because I liked it so much, but just because they had a full-time staff, and so they posted a lot of news. It's called the Gateway Pundit. It's a it's run by a gay guy, but It was very pro-Trump, and it didn't do a whole lot on Ukraine, but you know, it was taking a basically Trump line. But the moment this started, they've just gone full support for Israel, which was kind of weird. Others who are not full support for Israel, one talking point that has gone around among, say, leftists that I've heard repeated by people who are, you know, not leftists. One person in particular, a former CIA analyst named something Johnson. I forgot his first name, something Johnson. And it's that look at the difference in the level of concern that administration officials have towards Ukrainians as opposed to towards Gazans. So the administration officials, they were so concerned about Ukrainian civilians being bombed by Russians, and they show zero concern about the fate of the Palestinians being bombed by Israelis. It just shows that they're motivated by white supremacy, that this is all a giant white supremacy. They care so much about the white Ukrainians, don't care anything about the brown Palestinians, which, you know, I'm so sick of every time, like, Jews get caught doing something that's bad or bad optics or whatever, then all of a sudden it's white supremacy. Because, you know, the Ukrainian project was not a white project. It was thoroughly a Jewish project. And they, and honestly, they don't care about the Ukrainians. They just wanted to overthrow Vladimir Putin and were willing to use Ukraine as a completely sacrificial lamb. And to the extent they're complaining about Ukrainian civilians, it's not even a thing. I mean, more Gazan, so-called Gazan civilians, certainly more Gazan children have been killed in the past month than, I mean, you don't even hear about Ukrainian children being hurt. So it's just not even a thing. And yet the Ukrainian male population has just been fed into this meat grinder. It's been acknowledged by, I guess it was the Economist and, you know, other outlets that, yeah, the average age of Ukrainian soldiers has reached 43. Well, if that's the average age, you still have people in their 20s fighting. That means you also have people in their 60s. I mean, they're taking people my age off of the streets and sending them into a meat grinder. And that's not exactly white supremacy. That's not the act of a government and an establishment that cares about these people to take middle-aged men, train them for a couple of weeks, stick a rifle in their hand, send them to a front line and have them blown away. That's not showing concern. But at any rate, that's one of the talking points, is that the administration's policies towards Ukraine and towards Israel is motivated by white supremacy. What do you think of that?
But I can understand that. You see, this is one of the issues that we are faced with when so many people see Jews as white people. So what you actually are seeing here is probably, in some respects, a normal response from your average leftist normie, because your average leftist normie will see Jews as sort of quirky white people who are of a different religion. And they will think that Jews are a little bit insular. Maybe, you know, maybe you could call them an ethnicity, but they're certainly not a racial group, and or not a distinct racial group anyway. They'd be, you know, of European descent in some regard. And as such, they view what's happening in Israel as white supremacy. They look at Israel as, you know, a white supremacist apartheid state along the lines of, say, South Africa, or in some cases, some of them view Israel as sort of the modern version of Nazi Germany. And they view Israel through that lens because that's how they've been taught to view the world. They are taught to look for inequality, and they are taught to look for a power structure within that inequality based upon the lightness of skin. So they look to Israel, they see inequality, they see people who are obviously lighter skinned, people who often regarded in the West as an, you know, as a Western outpost in the Middle East. How many times have we heard that? You know, Israel, you know, we must all support Israel because Israel is the Western outpost in the Middle East. And if it wasn't for Israel being in the Middle East and being this bulwark against all these madmen living there, we'd be completely invaded by now. Whereas, in fact, it's obviously completely opposite. Jews are a distinct ethnic group, and not only are they a distinct ethnic group, but their presence in the Middle East and complete inability to live peacefully with their neighbors, regularly destabilizing the regions, is what is leading to our invasion. And it's these more sort of subtle, nuanced points that when you actually work your way through them, you can understand how the world works. But for your average, you know, university educated, you know, brainwashed, anti-white liberal, they look at the state of Israel and they will be seeing everything they've been told to rage against. And they will most likely, in my humble opinion, sort of look at what is going on in the state of Israel now and be putting their head in their hands and thinking, well, why isn't anyone doing anything? Why aren't people coming out and talking about white supremacy? Why aren't people coming out and talking about the fact it's an apartheid state? Why is the West supporting this? You know, why did we fight this tyrant, Vladimir Putin? Why did I change my flag on my Facebook profile to a Ukrainian flag? Because we were being told that white people were dying at the hands of Vladimir Putin. But then, you know, when that was... when that was no longer in vogue, I've now got to change my picture to an Israeli flag, and the Israelis are killing colored people. So I can see how they come to these conclusions. I can see how they feel pretty much as if they've been, I'm not going to say lied to, but pretty much confused, because they'll be thinking, well, we stopped the tyrant. We tried to stop the tyrant Vladimir Putin from killing white people in the Ukraine, but we're not stopping the tyrant.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
But it's pretty much confused. because they'll be thinking, well, we stopped the tyrant, or we tried to stop the tyrant Vladimir Putin from killing white people in the Ukraine, but we're not stopping the tyrant, you know, Netanyahu, from killing non-white people in Gaza. Why is this? Why can't we call for a ceasefire? Isn't peace what we all wanted? And obviously on these university campuses, that has been a call for generations, the call for we must call for peace regardless of the conflict. So we call for peace in Vietnam, we call for peace, you know, in Afghanistan, we call for peace in Iraq. And all these peace marches were things that were supported by a wide range of politicians, sometimes from both sides of the divide. You know, you did get people from both sides supporting the calls for peace. But now you call for peace in Israel, and all of a sudden you are basically told, well, you were going to get a job, but now you're not going to get a job because we're making a list of people on campuses who are calling for peace in Israel, and those people will never be getting jobs. And at this point, this will play into the mindset of those who believe that actually everything is a white supremacist conspiracy, because this to them, you know, they will be saying, this is white supremacy. This is white supremacy at its worst. And you and I would turn around and say, well, actually, it's Zionist supremacy. But they don't understand that because they still are caught in that trap where, unfortunately, they view Israelis as fellow whites. And that's one of the greatest problems we face in the nationalist world, is that people view, these agents of Israel as fellow whites. And one of the interesting things about this is why here in the UK, when you try to discuss this issue with nationalists, you tend to get lots of, you know, normal, average, run-of-the-mill folk actually supporting Israel, because they look at it and they say, well, you know, we want to support the white guy. And at that point, you have to kind of try and explain to them how, well, you're not actually supporting the white guy. You're actually supporting the guys who are bringing the migrants here. But they simply won't accept that. And I think this sort of poses an interesting question, or an interesting challenge, for both those on the quote unquote left and those on the quote unquote white right, who unfortunately can't differentiate between people of European descent and Jews, who are obviously taking this Zionist line because fundamentally they want to see Israel be the one thing that white people would never be allowed to create, which is an unrivaled ethno-state for one group of people.
Well, we are running up against the time clock, so what are you going to be doing on your Patriotic Weekly Review or your Friday videos? Do you have any big plans for this week?
I have one big plan on Wednesday, and that is Eric Stryker. Eric Stryker is always a big plan, and I'm very much looking forward to having him on the show. So I shall be welcoming him on Wednesday. My video, I haven't decided what it's going to be on yet, but I am going to I've got something I want to talk about. I want to talk about the potential pitfalls of this, you know, violence in London at the weekend. But by the time I've published my video on Friday, the violence in London will almost be upon us if it is going to take place. And that is obviously something that I'm very worried about, because I want to keep doing what I do. I want to keep advocating for the good of, you know, white people. But any potential laws that could come out of these problems that we're seeing unfolding on our streets, you know, could prevent us all from speaking about pretty much anything. Those are the stakes.
Well, tell Eric I say hi, and thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me on.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you